I would like to read now from Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. I would like to read verses 15 through 18. Matthew chapter 17, verses 15 through 18. The Word of God says, "When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me.' And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour." It's amazing, isn't it, the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Things that doctors cannot do, God can just speak the word and it's done. There's no doubt that this man had carried his son to many doctors. We read in the Word of God about many other people who had been to doctors and had wasted all that they had. They had spent all the money they had, and then Jesus would touch them and heal them. There are four main words that are on my heart this morning, and there are five that are mentioned. I'll quote his exact words in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 17. The scripture says, "Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you?' And then the last words in that verse say, 'Bring him hither to me.'" I want us to think about the words that Jesus spoke. Bring him to me. Bring him to me. You remember that in this passage of Scripture, that they had first carried him to the disciples for the disciples to cast out that demon. And the disciples were unsuccessful. There were other times that the disciples, by the power of God, that the disciples were able to touch and to heal, even to do other great miracles. But on this occasion, the Word of God says that the disciples were not able to help this man. And the Word of God says, then Jesus said, "Bring him hither to me." Bring him to me. And I want us this morning to understand the principle that we all need to remember is that Jesus Christ is superior, that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, and that we need to always remember to take people to Jesus. Bring him, Jesus said, bring him to me. And they brought this child, they brought this man, they brought this man who was a lunatic, the son of his father, they brought him to Jesus, and Jesus healed the man, healed him completely. Have you ever carried someone to Jesus? Have you ever done what Jesus said right here to you? Bring him to me. Are there people right now that you know that you need to take them to Jesus? Does everybody understand the sense in which we're looking at this expression where Jesus said, bring him to me? I would encourage everybody here that before you ever, and I am not against doctors or medicine, everybody here understands that, I think, but I want us to all understand that before you ever take someone to any other doctor, and before you ever take any medicine, the first thing that you always need to do is to take him to Jesus. Always understand that all the doctors in the world, without God's blessings, they can do nothing. Understand that all the medicine and all the treatments and everything else that people do, they're to no avail without the blessings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, we need to understand and we need to remember and we need to hear these words, bring him to me. You remember that there was a man that had palsy. The Word of God tells us about this in Mark chapter 2. It tells us about how this man who had palsy, he was not able to walk, and yet the Word of God says that he had four wonderful friends. And do you remember what those four friends did for their friend? They took him, those four men, the Scripture says that they carried him to Jesus. Brethren, isn't it wonderful when you have a friend that when you are not able to go to the Lord, and there are many ways that you sometimes reach that, there are times that in our praying that our faith gets so weak and we are so unable to approach the throne of grace, at least we feel like we can't pray. And I'm so glad to know that there are times when I have felt like I could not pray, that I could call someone else and I could ask them to take me to Jesus, that I could ask them to go to the throne of grace in my behalf. I can go to my friends, as the songwriter says, I need my friends to pray for me. And we need to pray one for another. We need to take our friends to Jesus. Our bulletin is full of people that need someone to carry them to Jesus. And we need to understand He is the one that we need to carry people to. Take them to Jesus. Sometimes we confuse who is really in an authority, don't we? I think that even sometimes in the church we confuse who is it that's the head of the church? Who is it that is supreme in the church? It's not the preacher. It's not the deacons. It's not some board. And it's not some woman. The head of the church is Jesus Christ. And as the head of the church, it is Jesus' requirement that we give Him and Him alone all the praise, honor, and glory. He is the head of the church. And so it is that in the same chapter that we're reading here, in the same chapter, Matthew 17, in the beginning of that chapter, the Word of God tells us about Jesus taking Peter, James, and John up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And you remember that when they were up there and they had seen Jesus shine as bright as the noonday sun, you remember that then they saw Moses and Elijah. And when they saw Moses and Elijah, they were rejoicing. They had just seen the glory of Jesus Christ. And then they saw Moses and they saw Elijah. And to the Jews, those were two of the greatest men, if not the greatest men, that had ever lived on the face of the earth. And when Peter and James and John, when they saw Moses and Elijah, Peter said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here." It was good for them to be there. It was a great blessing for them to see the glory of Jesus Christ. It was good that they were even able to see Moses and Elijah. But they made a mistake and they said, "Let us build three altars. One for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And then God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." And brethren, whenever those words from heaven were spoken, those apostles, Peter and James and John, fell on their face. Why? They understood in that moment there was someone much greater than Moses, greater than Elijah, greater than Solomon, greater than all the people combined. There was someone that they should only give glory to, and that was Jesus Christ. And so then, after they had fallen on their faces, the Word of God says that when they rose up, the Scripture says they saw no man save Jesus only. They saw no man save Jesus only. We need, in our lives, we need to pray, "God, help me that I can see Jesus. Help me that I can see Jesus. Help me that I can see Him as Isaiah said, that he saw the Lord high and lifted up." May the Lord help us to see Jesus as He really is. You don't have to exaggerate. All you have to do is just teach the truth about Jesus. Not a weak Jesus, not a little Jesus, but the sovereign God of heaven and earth. Not a little weakling that can't save you, but to see the Savior. Have you ever seen the Savior? I mean really seen the Savior. It's a glorious thing to behold the one who has saved us from our sins. It is important that we see that He saved us without the help or aid or instrumentality of man in any way. It's not me and Jesus that saved you. It is Jesus only that has saved you. Jesus gave His blood for you. His blood is what has saved you from your sins. It's the grace of God that has saved us. It is God that has saved us and not we ourselves. It is God who has made us and not we ourselves. We need to take people to Jesus. When people don't see the greatness of Jesus, we need to take them to Jesus so they can see the real Jesus. You ever seen a fake tree? Have you ever seen anything that was fake? Listen, brethren, there are many people who think they've seen Jesus and they think they know Jesus that don't know Jesus. And if you know Jesus, you need to bring them to Jesus. You need to take them to Jesus. You need to help people see Jesus as He really is. Not some fake Jesus, not some imaginary Jesus, but the real Jesus, who is sovereign and omnipotent in all ways. You remember turning your Bibles just a moment to John chapter 12. Look at John chapter 12. You remember that there were some people who came to Philip. I want you to remember this man's name. They came to Philip. And when they came to Philip, there was something they wanted to see. It wasn't Philip. And I hope that if you come to the house of God this morning, I hope that you have come because you want to see Jesus. You want to hear about Jesus. You want to look into the Word of God, as the songwriter says, beyond the sacred page, I seek Thee, Lord. Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. I want to see Jesus in the Word of God. I want to see Jesus in you. I want you to see Jesus in me. But I want us to see the real Jesus. As a nation, one of the most terrible things that has ever happened, I think the worst thing that has ever happened, is that our nation no longer sees Jesus as He is. And we as the people of God, we sometimes are so worldly minded in our actions and thoughts and ways. They don't see Jesus in us. The church, you know what the church is? The church is like, I want some child here to tell me what the church is like. The church is like something in the sky. What is the church like? Don't say sun. What is the church like? Listen, I want the one of the children because here's the reason. We talked about this Friday night when we went camping with all the boys. Brother Rance, what? Say it again. The moon. The church is like the moon. The church is like the moon. And we were on that big sandbar looking up at the moon. And brethren, if we didn't know anything about science, we would think the moon had its own light. If we didn't understand that the moon only is a reflection of the sun, we would truly, on a full moon, think, wow, look at the brightness of that moon. But those that understand the truth understand that the moon is just a reflection of the real light, the true light, the natural, true natural light, the sun. But the sun, S-U-N, is just a picture of Jesus Christ. It all points to Jesus Christ. The church, the moon, should be a reflection of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And when you take people to the church, they shouldn't come to see the building, and they shouldn't come just to see the people. They should come, take them to who? Take them to Jesus. Take them to see Jesus. And we need to see Jesus. In John chapter 12, beginning in verse 20, the Word of God says, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. You know, the greatest joy in a parent's life ought to be when they can see Jesus in their children. The greatest joy in a husband's wife is when he can look at her and see Jesus in her. The greatest joy in a wife's life is when she can look at her husband and see Jesus in him. To see her husband loving her, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Isn't it wonderful to see Jesus? Isn't it wonderful that you can take people, those people that we read about in Mark chapter 17, they took that lunatic son. And you know what you are before you went to Jesus? You were a lunatic. You were crazy. You were dead. You were worse than just a lunatic. You were a dead lunatic before Jesus came to you. You understand? Jesus came to you. You were dead in trespasses and sins. And yet sometimes, as people become alive and you ask them to tell you what they know about Jesus, they're like the man that was partially healed of his blindness and was asked, what do you see? And he said, I see men as trees walking. Well, he had a very distorted view of men. And sometimes people have a very distorted view of Jesus, and you need to take them to Jesus. And these people that came to Philip, their number one desire was not to see Philip or Andrew or Peter or John. It made no difference to them who took them to Jesus. It did not make any difference if God had taken a donkey to lead them to Jesus. If they could just see Jesus, that was their desire. And I hope that's the desire of your heart and my heart today. Lord, I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. Sad thing is that so many people think you've got to die and go to heaven to see Jesus. It is a marvelous, wonderful, gracious thing that our Lord has allowed us to see Jesus right now in our lives here. When we enter into the kingdom of heaven, I think that sometimes we get our minds confused when we think about the kingdom of heaven, thinking that the joy is just entering into the kingdom. I want you to know that the joy in the kingdom is because of the king who's in the kingdom. The goal is not the kingdom, partially the goal, but the ultimate goal is when you get into the kingdom, you're going to see the king of the kingdom. And that's what brings righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, is when you're able to see Jesus as He really is. So these Greeks came to Philip, and he taught them about Jesus. They were blessed to see Jesus. Turn to Acts 8 now. I want you to see something in Acts chapter 8. There was a man, a eunuch here in Acts chapter 8, that God called on this same man that we're just reading about. Back there, we were just reading from John chapter 12 about Philip helping the Greeks to see Jesus, taking those Greeks to Jesus. In Acts chapter 8, you read about how God appeared to Philip and told Philip to go to a man that had been up to Jerusalem to worship, and he was on his way back home. And that Ethiopian eunuch, as he sat in his chariot, he was reading the Word of God. He was reading from Isaiah chapter 53. And Philip asked the eunuch, understandest thou what thou readest? Oh, I think probably everybody here could stand up right now and read a few verses in Isaiah 53, and you would clearly, immediately you would say, this is a picture of Jesus. I see Jesus in Isaiah 53. But I'll tell you, if you had been way back there when this eunuch was reading, you would not probably have known any more than he did. And when Philip asked the eunuch, understandest thou what thou readest? The eunuch said, how can I except some man guide me? You know what this, you know what Philip's going to do with this eunuch? What were the words of Jesus over there in Matthew 17:17? What, just boil it down to four words. Bring him to me. Bring him to me. You know what Philip's going to do with this eunuch right here? He's going to take him to Jesus. And the Word of God says in Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 34, the Word of God says, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, this man of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Do you see that? Now he was reading from Isaiah 53. You go home and read Isaiah 53. You will not find the word Jesus there. You will not find the letters J-E-S-U-S there. But if you can't read Isaiah 53 and see Jesus, you need to pray hard and you need to study a lot more, because I think most any child of God who has ever seen Jesus, if they will read Isaiah 53, they'll see Him again. They'll see Jesus as their Savior. They'll see Jesus as the Lamb of God, which took away the sin of the world. I need to see Jesus as my Savior. I need to see Jesus as my Savior every day. I need to see that He saved me 2,000 years ago at the cross of Calvary. I need to see that He saves us when we're sick and we have troubles and we have problems and we have financial trouble and we have family trouble. The only one that you need to go to, the main one you need to go to, is whom? Is Jesus. Doesn't matter who the preacher is. You might go to the preacher and say, preacher, help me and my family. Help me and my wife. We're having trouble. What the preacher has to do is take you to Jesus. If you go to a counselor somewhere, what the counselor has to do is take you to Jesus. Doesn't matter where you go to church. Don't pull that out of context. In its context, what you better hear is, you better hear about Jesus. And did you know when Paul said, I came to preach nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified, did you know that if you're preaching anything out of the Word of God, you're preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified? People get this all mixed up. I had a person in Columbus one time that I was preaching something, and he said, you know, I don't like to hear about Paul or what Paul said. I just like to hear the words that are written in red. Listen, brethren, the Apostle Paul never opened his mouth in the Word of God and taught anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Doesn't matter what you read in the Word of God, it's Jesus that's there. You may not see Him. You might think Jesus hasn't been preached. But if you have spiritual eyes and you have spiritual understanding and the Word of God is preached, you're going to see Jesus. That's what you're going to see. In Galatians chapter 6, the Word of God tells us a very important principle, but I want you to see two principles that are very important here. The first one is that you're supposed to be carrying your brethren to Jesus. People that are overseas fighting, you know what you need to be doing every day? You need to be taking those people to Jesus every day. Galatians chapter 6. Listen. Galatians 6 verse 2. The Word of God says, and this is a great principle I want you to remember. The Scripture says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. When you have a burden, am I supposed to have a burden too? When you have a problem, brethren, that's one of the functions of the church, is that we bear one another's burdens. Well, how do you bear it? You put it all on your shoulders, folks, you'll collapse. The way I bear your burdens is to take you to Jesus. To take your problems to Jesus. To take your troubles to Jesus. And leave them there. Trust in Jesus. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Now that's bearing one another's burdens, but now listen. I not only want you to understand that you need to take people to Jesus, but I want you to understand you need to go to Jesus yourself. I think there are a lot of people that are carrying people to Jesus and running people to Jesus, and it's like a taxi service. They're running people to Jesus, but they're not going to Jesus themselves. And you and I, as the people of God, you will become weak and weary and faint in your body if you don't go to Jesus yourself. So what God does here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, he says, now you bear one another's burdens, you take them to Jesus, but look at what he does in verse 5. In verse 5 he says, for every man shall bear his own burden. You see that? I need to bear your burden, but what else do I need to do? Well, let me back up. If I'm bearing your burden, what am I doing? I'm taking you to what? I'm taking you to Jesus. And if I bear my own burden, I'm going to Jesus with my problems. If you have a problem, you need to go to Jesus. So there's a twofold message on my heart this morning. One is that you take people to Jesus. And the second is that you go to Jesus. That you learn the importance every day when you wake up in the morning. Go to Jesus as soon as you wake up. Before you go eat breakfast, before you go to work, the first thing you need to do is you need to go to Jesus right then. While you're there with Jesus, you need to talk to Jesus about other people that have their burdens and problems, and you need to help them bear their burden. But don't try to bear one another's burdens without first you go to Jesus. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, and you know the scriptures by heart, Matthew 11:28. What did Jesus say? What's the first word in Matthew 11:28? What's the first word? Come, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So I encourage everybody here this morning to first of all remember that you must go to Jesus. In Revelation chapter 22, the scripture says, let me read that in closing. Turn to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. Revelation 22 verse 17, the Word of God says, and the Spirit and the bride. Who is the bride? Who is the bride? And in the sky, what is it that's in the sky that's an analogy to the church? The moon. He says, and the Spirit and the bride, the church says. What's the church say? What does the church say? Come, 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 come. Where are we going? Where are we going? If we're the true church of Jesus Christ, we're going to see Jesus. You remember there was a woman at the well that had some water, and he said, if you'd known who I was, you'd have asked me, and I would give you living water. And so the Spirit and the bride say, come. If you're not saying come, you're not the bride. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and whosoever will, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Let me remind you that taking the water of life doesn't give you life. Taking the water of life sustains the life that is in you. I'm fixing to drink some water. Do you know why I'm drinking this water? Because I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. But there's something better than all the natural water in the world. I would rather die of natural thirst. I'd rather die starving to death than to die without, or to face a day without being able to drink this living water. And I can't give it to you, but Jesus can. Think about that prodigal son. There he was off wasting his father's goods and riotous living. And he said, when he came to himself, he said, I'm going to arise and I'm going to go to my father. Here's what Jesus said when he was about to die. He said, he didn't say, I'm going to heaven. He didn't ever say that. He never said that. He said, I go to, fill in the last two words there. I go to, what's the last two words? I go to my Father. I go to my Father. See, heaven is not heaven unless you're going to the Father. And heaven on earth, the kingdom of heaven, is not the kingdom of heaven unless you're going to Jesus. May God help us to take people to Jesus. And may God help us to arise and go to Jesus is my prayer for Christ's sake.